Today we're going to look at Magid, which is one of the central parts of the Seder. Now we know that there is a mitzvah to remember that Hashem took us out of Egypt every morning and every night, and we fulfill that mitzvah by doing the recitation of the third paragraph of Shema. Most authorities assume that there is an additional commandment of V'higadot levincha b'yom ahu le'mor, an additional commandment to also, on the night of the Seder, talk about the miracles of the Exodus from Egypt. That means that the night of the Seder, you're going to remember Egypt in two different ways. You're going to remember Egypt, number one, in the conventional way of remembering it in the Shema as part of the daily remembrance, and also a second mitzvah of remembering it at the Seder, which appears only once a year. Many people who like to talk about this added aspect of Magid, including the Briskers and others, focus on the Rambam's language that in the introduction to the laws of Chametz and Matzah says that there's a mitzvah to tell stories, lisaper, b'yetziat Mitzrayim. And he also says this in the beginning of the laws of the Seder, mitzvah aseh shel Torah, there is a Torah command, lisaper, to discuss, nisim v'nifla'ot, the miracles, shenasu la'avoseinu b'mitzrayim, that was done for our ancestors in Egypt. The Rambam is more complicated than that, because the Rambam actually quotes the pasuk of Zachar Sayom Hazeh, which sounds like that's the pasuk for the daily mitzvah. Leaving aside the pasuk, the citation of that pasuk, the Rambam says that v'higadot levincha b'yom ahu le'mor, b'yom ahu, on that day, as the Seder says, yachol me'rosh chodesh. I would have thought that maybe you should do it, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Tam lomar b'yom ahu. It says b'yom ahu. You should tell your child on that day, on the night of the Seder. So people base this on the Rambam that there is a second mitzvah to tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim on the night of the Seder. Now Rabbi Soloveitchik said that there's a very big difference between the two mitzvahs, between a daily remembering and a storytelling one night a year. Among the differences that Rabbi Soloveitchik points out between the two mitzvahs, number one is that remembering something is even in the smallest amount. It takes a second to remember something. But a storytelling requires details. So to fulfill the mitzvah every day of remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim, I just have to remember that my ancestors were in Egypt and God took us out. But at the Seder, you need to have more. You need to have a richer story, beginning at the beginning of the story and ending at the end of the story, and including also some details, such as the Makot, the splitting of the sea, etc. A second difference is that remembering is la'atzmo, is something that you can do for yourself, by yourself. You remember something, you just remember it in your head, and then you're done. But sipur, storytelling, is with other people. And that's why it says, v'higadot levincha, you should tell your child, namely that this is a mitzvah that you don't do on your own. It's a mitzvah that you do together with, it's a mitzvah that you, it's not a mitzvah that you do it your own, it's a mitzvah that you do together with somebody else, ideally with your child. If there's no child present and it's just a married couple, then they can still ask each other, even without a child. Storytelling, sipur, involves two people, that you're sort of telling the story further. The Rambam adds, Hay levado shoh la'atzmo manishtana halayla hazeh. The Rambam adds, although this is subject to a little bit more debate, that the storytelling is so much an important part that if you're having a Seder on your own, that you actually ask questions to yourself and you tell a story to yourself. Because remembering doesn't require an interactivity, but storytelling requires an interactivity. And finally, and a third aspect, is that remembering is just about the story, but the sipur, the storytelling, is also more experiential. And when you tell the story, it automatically triggers a need to say halal, as a natural response to the Torah telling, to the storytelling. And that's why at the end of Maggid, we end Maggid actually with a recitation of Hallel. A little bit of the Hallel is said at the end of Maggid, because it's a storytelling, it's an experiential, you're really becoming a part of the story and not just passively remembering it. It is much more active. And when you think about Maggid, Maggid includes many different elements which sort of amplify this storytelling aspect. We begin with the four sons, which is actually not really part of Maggid. It's an introduction to Maggid. But we begin with the four sons to remind everyone that we're supposed to be telling this story to other people. It's not just about us, but other people at the Seder. We begin with Manishtana because we're supposed to be storytelling in response to a question. At the end of the Seder, we point to the matzah and we say, matzah zu. The matzah becomes a prop almost in telling the story. This is the matzah. You're holding a prop. You're storytelling. This is the bread that we ate when we took out of Egypt. And it becomes much more than just remembering what the story might be. What does the Seder include? So here, the Gemara in Psachim says, the Mishnah says, Matzchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shevach. Part of telling the story means that you start with the gnut, with the bad stuff, u'misayim b'shevach, and you end with the praise, namely with the good stuff. When you're telling the story, it's a much broader arc than just remembering. Remembering is the one short, 1 second, this is what happened, and I remember it. Storytelling, you know, has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Storytelling requires you to begin with the bad situation in which our ancestors began, and then you tell the unfolding story about how they turned to redemption. And if you look at Maggid, after the introduction of the Manishtana, we say, Avadim Mayin Lufarov Mitzrayim, we were slaves to Paro in Egypt. Namely, we're beginning with the bad stuff, that we were slaves, in order to tell this wider arc, this Sipur, this storytelling, of beginning with slavery and then with salvation, that God took us out of Egypt. The Gemara Mesachim actually says that there's a debate, what is the bad stuff? Shmuel is the opinion that you begin with Avadim Hayinu, the bad stuff is that we were slaves. Rav says that the bad stuff is Mitchila of De'avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu, that our ancestors were idol worshippers. And in Maggid, we actually quote both opinions. At the beginning of Maggid, we have Shmuel, that we were slaves, but this, we're also careful to add a paragraph in Maggid that Mitzchaha of De'avodah Zarah Yuavotenu, that our ancestors at the beginning were idol worshippers. Terach, Avram's father, was an idol worshipper. As it says in Yoshua, we quote this in the Seder, Be'evran har Yoshua votechem me'olam, your ancestors came from Mesopotamia, Terach, Avi Abraham, Avi Nachor, including Terach, the father of Abraham, Vayavdu Elohim Achirim, and they were idol worshippers. And the debate between Rav and Shmuel is a very important one because it goes to the core of what Maggid is really a story about. It's clearly a story which talks about a narrative arc from a beginning to an end, from a bad situation to a good situation. But there's two ways of understanding what the narrative arc is. For Rav, the narrative arc begins with our ancestors being idol worshippers, starting with Terach, but the truth is there's a lot of evidence from the prophet Yechezkel, Rashi in his commentary to Parshat Bo, cites evidence of this as well, the Midrashim, that the Jewish people were idol worshippers in Egypt. And the focal point of the Seder is not even that we were slaves and that the slavery ended, but that we were idol worshippers and we were redeemed from lives as idol worshippers. If you think about it, the Seder is often associated with four languages of salvation. The first three talk about salvation from exile and slavery. Ve'otzeiti, that physically we left Egypt. Ve'itzalti, that instead of having slavery and hard work, we didn't have to do hard work anymore. And ve'ga'alti, that we weren't owned by somebody else. Those three focus us on the physical salvation? And if so, the arc of the Seder is we were slaves. God gave 10 plagues to the Egyptians to punish them, and then we became free. But Rav says that's not the Ark of the Seder. The Ark of the Seder is actually the fourth of the languages of salvation. V'lakachti eschem li la'am, that we became God's nation, that we changed from being idolaters to being Jewish. Shmuel probably says that that is indeed celebrated, but we celebrate that on Shavuos. But Rav says, no, that's actually part of the Seder. And the Seder has to include a description of the fact that we bow down to idols, then that God took us out of Egypt. But under Rav's understanding, the spiritual focus, the focus is not that God punished our enemies and thereby caused them to release us. It's that God revealed himself to us. Right? We say in the Seder that the night of the Seder, lo yedei malach, lo yedei saraf, it's not that God sent a messenger to save us. God himself revealed himself, Ani Hashem, God revealed himself when he took us out through the actions of Makat Bechorot. And we also say that Zo Gilui Shechina, that part of the Exodus from Egypt included Gilui Shechina, a revelation of God's presence. Ani Sa'al Okeim Lebol Lekachet Lo Goy Mikar of Goy, did God save any nation? Kechol Asher Asa Lachem Hashem Elokeichem, like God did for you, B'mitzrayim Le'inecha, before your eyes. Namely, that we saw God's role for us in this world, and thereby that God saved us. The Dayenu song is a song that, you know, everybody sings and says, Dayenu, Dayenu this, Dayenu that. But for Rav, the Dayenu song is critical because most of the Seder really focuses on the physical aspect of the being slaves and the physical salvation. It focuses on Shmuel's view that we were crying and God saw us and he heard us and he saved us and our enemies were punished. Dayenu is really where we talk about the spiritual aspects. Nasan lanu es haShabbos, that God gave us the Shabbos. Kervanu lifnei Har Sinai, we came to Har Sinai. Nasan lanu et haTorah, Torah, Israel, Beit HaBechira. So the Dayenu song is critical for Rav to explain the full range of this arc, that we started with idolatry, but we were saved. God revealed himself to us. As Rashi says, the Korban Pesach was a mitzvah that the Jewish people performed, thereby proclaiming and indicating their commitment to the Jewish faith. But it didn't just stop there. It continued from there to getting the Shabbat, to getting the Torah, to entering Israel and the Beit HaMikdash, and that becomes part of the Maggid story as well. And Rob would probably add that the Hallel, in which we sort of praise God for being who we are as Jewish, is not limited to God saving us from bondage. It's not just B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Mi'am Lo'ez. It's not just, yeah, we were slaves in Egypt and God took us out of Egypt. But the Hallel includes more of that. It includes who we are as Jewish people. Halleluka, Hallelu, Avdei Hashem, that we are Avdei Hashem, that our nature and our identity is servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are the two things to think about when reciting the Maggid part of the Haggadah. The first is that it's storytelling with a little bit more detail, with a little bit more interactivity, sometimes even with props and ways of showing what we're doing and how we're doing it. And the second aspect of Maggid art, showing the arc of the Jewish people's journey from bad to good, either physical or spiritual. Now, one last thing just about this point of the demonstrative aspect of telling the story. So there's a whole discussion about Karpas and Yachatz, the two things that come before Maggid, how important they are and what's their purpose. And some say, well, it's, you know, we do these things so the children will ask questions. But in light of this idea that the Seder is actually about the storytelling, Karpas and Yachatz are more examples of this storytelling. In Yachatz, when you break the middle matzah and you hide it, because you say that a poor person, saves their food because they don't know they're going to have food the next day, I am saving the matzah because my ancestors were slaves, and I remember that they were slaves by doing like they would have done to sort of save matzah for my next meal, then Yachatz really becomes part of this storytelling with props, with acting out the story, which is critical for Maggid. The purpose of hiding the matzah is not to give all the kids something to run after. The purpose of the breaking and the hiding of the matzah is to be a prop to help with the unfolding of the interactive story. And karpas as well, whether you focus on the salt water of the tears of the karpas or of the freedom of the karpas to say, look, I'm acting that I'm free. You know, I'm leaning back and I'm eating this extra initial course to show that I'm a free, wealthy person. So karpas and yachatz really could be understood also as being part of this interactive storytelling, which is the key to the nature of the Maggid part of the Seder that we perform on the first night of Pesach every year, not just the remembrance of every day, but the special storytelling of the night of the Seder.